Hello and welcome to another episode of the County Cricket Podcast in association with our friends at Bear Cricket. I'm your host, Aaron, aka the Cricket Connoisseur, and joining me on my left, as always, is my Lancashire co-host, Joe Nutsy Nuttall. So, Joe, mate, how's your day been so far?
Yeah, it's been all right, thanks. Not really done much, to be fair, but yeah, not too bad. So, yeah, obviously, found out this morning that Matt Wood's injured for the next test. So that'll be, hopefully, it's a test return for Craig Overton.
Really? I'm surprised by that. I thought you would have gone with Saqib Ahmed.
Yeah, but that means that Lancs will not have him available for the T20, which is more, a quarterfinal T20 is more important to me than a test against India in a series and going to get absolutely smashed in. And also that means Somerset wouldn't have Overton. So
so you're thinking of it tactically either way,
it's not like... Either way, it's not like Overton's a bad bowler for England to have. Obviously, I still care about England, I still want England to win, but I am thinking about it more from a Lancs perspective here.
So after all of these episodes where you've been telling me that Saqib Ahmed is better than Ollie Stone, and I've rebutted it with stat after stat after stat, you now don't want Saqib Ahmed to play in a test match?
No.
I see where you're coming from, though, Joe, I suppose. You want him for the quarterfinals. I mean, it's Saqib Ahmed.
If it was just a group game, then it's different, but... We need him for the quarterfinal. And also, as I say, that means Somerset wouldn't have Overton, which is also a massive bonus.
Well, Joe, we'll have to wait and see, won't we? But yeah, talking of the T20 Blast quarterfinals this week, starting tomorrow up at the Riverside, Yorkshire versus Sussex. Then we've got Nottinghamshire taking on Hampshire at Trent Bridge. Lancashire versus Somerset at the Cooper Associates County Ground in Taunton on Thursday. And then Friday, the Kent Spitfires versus the Birmingham Bears in Canterbury. So a lot of cricket going on this week. And of course, the England versus India test match up at Headingley. We've got a lot of cricket. Also, the Charlotte Edwards Cup is back, which is fantastic for women's cricket, hopefully building off the momentum of the Women's 100. But Joe, we aren't here to talk about any of those competitions today. We are instead here to talk about the Royal London One Day Cup. For the final time in 2021, we have got a weekly review show for the Royal London One Day Cup. Now, before we get into today's podcast, which we'll be discussing the final of, and of course the wider competition as a whole, let's just take you through the final results of the 2021 Royal London One Day Cup playoffs. So first of all, in the first semi-final, we had Essex taking on Glamorgan in Sapphire Gardens. Glamorgan emerged as the victors in that contest, beating their southeastern rivals by 5 wickets. And then in the second semi-final of the week, we saw Surrey take on Durham up at the Riverside. And in that encounter, Durham emerged victorious, also by a margin of 5 wickets. Alex Leeds being the standout with a beautifully crafted 75 from 99 balls. And then it came down to the big final at Trent Bridge on a Thursday. We'll be discussing the scheduling of that, I suppose, in today's podcast. But in front of 7,000 people, Glamorgan took on Durham and won the first one-day cup trophy in their 100-year first-class history. It was absolutely staggering. Glamorgan won that encounter by 58 runs. The crowd went mental. You can see around the country as well. There was a lot of celebrations in Wales. And funnily enough, talking of celebrations, before we get into today's podcast, as you may be able to tell, unfortunately, our Welsh co-host Lucy Rees isn't here today. She's actually covering a game for Cricket Wales. But she did have a message, kind of just summarising her thoughts on this year's competition. And of course, her beloved Glamorgan lifting a first trophy since the 2004 Tote Sport League 17 years ago. So here were her thoughts.
Yeah, in fairness, Glamorgan have been absolutely exceptional throughout the Royal London One Day Cup. This is probably due to a lot of county players around the circuit playing for different teams in the 100. But I do think they have played really well. And I'm obviously, as a Glamorgan fan, very chuffed they've won. I did watch it on TV. I was going to go down to Trent Bridge, but I went to London on the weekend for the 100 final. So did watch it on TV, was very chuffed. There was a few things I did notice, though, that I wasn't really happy with. So, for example, one thing, there was no DRS in use. I thought there should be, especially how Billy Root got out. And it did show that it was available as well, because obviously Sky Sports were broadcasting it. And they showed that that he basically wasn't out, that it was going down. Another thing, that Durham did pick their players that had played in the 100, whereas Glamorgan didn't. Glamorgan played a very young side, which I'm very happy with, seeing as they did win. Although their 12th man did play in the 100, so he was brought into the squad. I'm glad that they did stick with the side that have played really well throughout the tournament. And I'm glad they did. I thought Kieran Carlson captained very well. Obviously, Chris Cook playing for Birmingham Phoenix. And I must give a big, massive shout out to Adrian Shaw. I saw him at my cricket club not so long ago, and he told me all the work he's been doing with the first team because Matt Maynard's been involved with the 100 team. So, I'm very chuffed for him. I'm very chuffed for the team. I'm very chuffed for Keane Carlson. And obviously, it's not his trophy since 2004. So I'm absolutely over the moon.
So as you can tell, listeners, Lucy, absolutely elated. And I guarantee that any Glamorgan fans out there would be feeling the exact same. It is massive, absolutely massive, this competition. A first trophy in 17 years since that 2004 Totesport League winning campaign. Robert Croft as the captain. There's that iconic photo of the team with the trophy back in 2004. After 17 years of heartbreak, near misses, you know, just disappointment for Glamorgan, not lifting silverware. All of that was gone as soon as Michael Hogan took that final wicket at Trent Bridge. It was a fantastic moment, and congratulations to Glamorgan County Cricket Club for lifting the 2021 Royal London One Day Cup. And of course, commiserations to Durham. As we'll mention in today's podcast, it was a brilliant, brilliant competition for both sides. Durham were right up there, the likes of Alex Leeds, Graham Clark, David Bedingham, Scott Borthwick, Rushworth and Potts with the ball as well. Absolutely sensational. But unfortunately for the North Eastern County, just couldn't get enough runs on the day. But they should still be immensely proud of their performances in this year's competition. And talking of the final, Joe, let's actually discuss and reflect and review this year's final at Trent Bridge. And I suppose before we get into the game itself, what did you make of Trent Bridge as the host venue, Joe? I know obviously this was a point of a lot of controversy. Of course, the scheduling, the semi-finals being on the Monday and Tuesday, and then of course a major final, which is usually at Lord's, the home of cricket, and usually played on a Saturday, was now played on a Thursday in front of 7,000 spectators. Now, don't get me wrong, Joe. I have to be honest, the fans that were there were absolutely fantastic. The Glamorgan fans in particular, I noticed some dressed up as daffodils, which were quite funny, and they brought the flags and the dragons and all sorts. And the fans that were there were absolutely fantastic. But I can't help but feel as though that could have been an even bigger occasion had the scheduling been a bit better and the organisation been a bit better. What did you make of it, Joe?
Yeah, I guess there was, in terms of like location for a final, I guess Trent Bridge, as great a ground as it is, and it is a great ground, you know, we showed that so many times over the years, is not the best ground in the country. That's Lord's, and that's where the final should be for me. So, you know, the dream of getting to a Lord's final for so many people, is a spectators or players, is one of the goals of at least a county cricketer, probably any cricketer, whether you play county or internationally as well. The fact that it wasn't at Lord's was, I think, a little bit of a kick in the teeth. Obviously, Lord's hosted the 100 final, so, as I say, Trent Bridge is a great venue and definitely somewhere that I'd like to go one day, but it's not the place to host a final, like a one-day cup final, or obviously the Bob Willis Trophy final, which is also going to be at Lord's this year. That's where you want it to be, at Lord's. Finals there at Edgbaston, I can understand, you know, Lord's is a good place for T20 cricket, but when was the last time there was an IT20 at Lord's? So I think that kind of says it all, really. Lord's is more for tests and one-day cricket, in my opinion. So, yeah, I mean, I think finals days, T20 finals days being held at Edgbaston. Where else has it been? Cardiff over the years.
The Aegeus Bowl.
The Aegeus Bowl, yeah. And who knows, maybe one day it will move to somewhere like Old Trafford with equally as good an atmosphere as Edgbaston. But yeah, as I say, I can understand why that's not held at Lord's, but generally a final should be held at Lord's. All right, that's the way I view it anyway.
I do think so for the One Day Cup, because again, it's something that we've spoken about so many times on the podcast. And you think back for long-term county fans as well, we call it a Lord's final. It really does hold a special place in the hearts and minds of county cricket fans. It's a special day out at a special venue. And as much as I do love Trent Bridge, I've been there a couple of occasions. I absolutely love West Bridgeford, which is the area that it's in Nottingham. And the wicket, of course, is absolutely brilliant as well. It's great for one-day cricket. You think back to 2018, and England scored 481 there against Australia. But the One Day Cup should be held at Lord's. Okay, that is its spiritual home, a bit like Finals Day at Edgbaston. It doesn't feel right to remove it from its spiritual home. And this year, as much as I said, the crowd that were at Trent Bridge were absolutely fantastic. The atmosphere was great. They were supporting their sides in full voice. But just think, you could have doubled that, even tripled that crowd, had the scheduling been better. Even if it was Trent Bridge on a Saturday, for example, imagine Trent Bridge full, packed to the rafters, under the lights. It would have been absolutely brilliant. So I think it's safe to say the ECB missed the trick, to say the least. And hopefully, fingers crossed, the scheduling can be a lot better next year. And of course, the One Day Cup does get that Saturday slot because it deserves it. And we've seen it this year. We'll get into the viewing figures later on in today's podcast. But the support of the competition has been excellent. It really has been good considering all of the outside circumstances. So as much as it was a great, great final, and of course for Glamorgan fans, absolutely magnificent and a very, very memorable day, a memorable occasion that will live long in the memory, I just feel like it could have been that even bit more special. But with that being said, scheduling aside, let's just talk about the final, Joe, because it's absolutely brilliant. There's so, so many moments that we could pick out between these two sides. Definitely two worthy finalists. Durham completely destroyed their group. They won 6 out of 8 games. One of their games was a no result. They lost one game other than the final. And then, of course, Glamorgan topping Group 2 as well. Both sides deserve their place in this year's final. And they put together an absolute show at Trent Bridge on Thursday. So before I get into my thoughts and, you know, feelings on this year's final, Joe, what did you make of this encounter at Trent Bridge? Just how impressed were you by the efforts of both sides?
As you say, both sides deserve to get to, you know, to the final. You know, these are not necessarily, I think I said this last week, these are not necessarily sides who I would have said would be there or thereabouts this year, if I'm being perfectly honest. I thought Lancs would have been there or thereabouts. I thought Notts would have been there or thereabouts. Those kind of sides, regardless of who's missing and stuff like that, you know, these sides still train with this, you know, with the same coaches and still try and match intensity of other players, certain players who are missing. So I underestimated them on my part, firstly. But yeah, as you say, it was a great game, great occasion, and all round the whole, as you say, the day with the fans were great, the game, the occasion was great, the atmosphere was great. And it is a shame that obviously it wasn't on Saturday or on a Sunday. I won't go back into all that, but focusing on the actual game, it was a good game of cricket, right? It was a good game. Those two teams deserve to be there. And overall, I think you can't really ask for much more. I mean, it maybe would have been better if it was like 450 plays 450 or something like that. Maybe that would have been a bit better, of course. But for like a good one-day game, I think that was right up there.
Oh, it was.
And a lot of wickets seen as well, which is good.
Exactly, yeah, 19 wickets seen as 19. Well. But that's a testament to the strength of both bowling units. And just before we get into the bowling, Joe, I want to talk more about the batting. And in particular, one Glamorgan batsman, their captain on the day, Kieran Carlson, and his 82. This was an absolutely staggering knock. 82 from 59 balls, Joe. I know this is your kind of innings. Very explosive, very destructive, very dynamic. He took the attack to the Durham bowlers in absolutely scintillating fashion. 10 fours, 3 sixes, a 138.98 strike rate in a major final. Just how impressed have you been with Kieran Carlson this year, Joe? He's been a real standout for the Welsh side, hasn't he? In terms of both batting and, of course, leadership in the way in which he's approached the game.
Yeah, I think he has. I think, you know, Glamorgan definitely have a building towards, you know, a really, really competitive squad now. And I think the likes of Billy Root, for example, is just one example of that. But I think Kieran Carlson, for me, is, aside from Marnus, but I don't really know if you can count him because he's in overseas, for me, he's their best player, I would say. In my opinion, anyway, I think Kieran Carlson is so consistent. How many runs? He's got so many runs this season. He really has. And this 82, on the biggest of occasions, on the biggest of days, you know, in a final, it's just what you want, isn't it? It's just what you want. He absolutely whacks it as well, which is great to see. Really, really entertaining innings. And you can't really ask for much more from your captain. You know, obviously, it would have been nice to go 18 better and ton up, but that's how it is, you know. I thought pretty perfect innings, to be honest, on the day.
It was indeed, Joe. And I'll tell you what, he played the situation absolutely superbly. He really did. Glamorgan Hank got off to an awful start, but they're around 51 for 2 in the 12th over. And he actively took the attack. He was proactive. in terms of the role. Now, whether or not that was him or whether or not that was a game plan, because at the other end, you had Nick Selman almost as a ball sponge, just digging in, rotating the strike as and when he could. And then Kieran Carlson was the attacking option. If that was planned, that was absolutely brilliant by Glamorgan. And you have to give a lot of credit to both players because they did their roles to absolute perfection. And just talking of Glamorgan batsman Joe as well, I know he didn't get quite as many runs as Carlson or indeed Nick Selman. He only scored 14 runs in this game. But Stephen Reingold, I mentioned this on our Twitter. On the 22nd of July, he was part of the Wales Minor County side alongside Lucas Carey and Andy Gorvin that beat Glamorgan at Sapphire Gardens in the National Counties game. And at that moment, I remember on Twitter, the reaction was, Glamorgan, this team are terrible, this, that, the other, not looking forward to the Royal London One Day Cup. And fast forward a month, and he is part of a Glamorgan winning side, winning their first ever One Day Cup trophy. It's a staggering achievement and a fantastic journey as well, isn't it? It's a testament to the story of Stephen Reingold. And I'll tell you what, fair play to him. Fair play to him. It really is a feel-good story, isn't it, Joe? To see a guy from the National Counties working so hard, taking his opportunities, getting signed up for the tournament itself, and then winning the thing with that county. It's incredible, isn't it, mate?
Yeah, 100%. And as you said, the fact that he scored runs against Glamorgan at the start of the, well, not the start of the competition, but the start of the one-day block of cricket this year, you know, it's really, really impressive, to be honest. And to work yourself into a position where you're now playing for Glamorgan in the final, yeah, it's a great achievement.
Absolutely, Joe. And fair play to Stephen Reingold. And fair play to Glamorgan as well, not just for playing him, but also not bringing in their players from the 100. I thought that was quite good of them, to be honest. They stuck with their team that had got them to that position. And you can just tell with that Glamorgan side, there's such a chemistry. That team really has gelled together. And they've been absolutely sensational in this year's tournament. And just before we talk about Glamorgan's bowlers, Joe, and of course the winning moment with Michael Hogan, I just wanted to mention one of Durham's batsmen, and that's Sean Dixon. Now, I felt absolutely awful for Sean in this game because he played a brilliant innings as well. 84 not out from 83 balls, batted really well alongside the tail, scored 8 fours and a six. And at some points, you thought he was actually going to get the job done for Durham. But of course, as we all know now, Glamorgan's bowl is just too good at death, too clinical, too accurate and precise in terms of executing their game plans. But what did you make of that batting display, Joe, from Sean Dixon? It was very impressive, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think Sean Dixon's another one who's had a decent competition. For me, it feels like he's finally started to really kick on at Durham now. Obviously got a few runs against Lancs. More than a few runs, got a load of runs against Lancs. You know, him and Danithi put on a good partnership. And as I say, it feels like he's finally started to kind of settle in at Durham and kick on, which is great to see. Just quickly back on your point there about playing players from the 100. I actually agree with Durham on this, in my opinion. I think it's right. I understand that Glamorgan's players have got them to this stage, but if you've got some of your... If let's put Lancs in this position. If Lancs were in the final and we had... All right, Davis and Livingston weren't available because they got to the final.
Or it's just Alex Davis.
We had Parkinson available. We had Hartley available. We had Villas available. If we had, and there's probably more I'm not even mentioning here, if we had all these guys available and didn't play them, I'd be a bit miffed at that. So as much as I appreciate, you know, Glamorgan have got that far with the team, I mean, they obviously ended up winning the whole thing with the team, which is even better. So maybe I'm just being proved completely wrong here. But just my opinion is I think you've got your best players available, you play them. It's like if Warwickshire got to the final, right, and you had Sam Hayne available, you had you know, you had all these, who I'm trying to think who else you didn't have available, but Sam Hayne's the biggest one. If you had Sam Hayne available for the final and didn't play him, bearing in mind how good he is at one day cricket, would you not be a bit annoyed?
Well, I'm not being funny. I think he only played one of the 100 games anyway, so he might as well have played in the one day cup. But with Sam Hayne, I think that's a bit different though, because the guy's got the highest list day average of all time. Like, he's going to walk into the side anyway. The key here, Joe, and to be honest, I don't think it's a case of right or wrong, if I'm being completely honest. I just respect the fact that they kept the same side.
Oh, 100%. I respect it totally. But for me, if I was a Glamorgan fan looking at the team before the game, and as I say, it doesn't matter.
Would you have wanted a Chris Cook in there, for example, then over Stephen Reingold, who's come up, he's got that fantastic story, he's been brilliant throughout this year's competition? Or would you play Chris Cook over Tom Cullen, for example, the keeper? Would you bring in Dan Douthwaite? Would you bring in David Lloyd?
Dan Douthwaite.
Even though 100%. These guys have got you to the final.
Yeah, but these guys elevate your team. And,
Yeah, but they haven't been playing List A cricket though. That's the difference. They've been playing
white
basically
ball
T20
cricket.
cricket.
But it's transferable skills. It's not like they've been playing. And at the end of the day, they're professional cricketers, and they have to be able to adapt to play. If you can't go from playing a 100-ball game to playing a 50-over game in the space of I don't know how long, a couple of days. Look at Potts and Rain for Durham. They've been playing most of the 100, I think. Especially Potts.
That's
Played every
polling,
single
though.
game. But it doesn't matter. You've got to execute your depth skills differently in 50-over cricket. I just think if you have the players available, why not play them? Like I say, if Livingston and Davis had been available, had Lance got to the final, and they didn't play, I would be pretty annoyed, because as well as the squad's done to get you there, you've got one of the best players in the world currently in Liam Livingston available, and not to pick him. Dan Dalfour is such a good player. Why would you not pick him? But again, they won. So this is all just my personal opinion, and I completely respect Glamorgan for just sticking with the squad. And it's not like it's not a bad squad at all. It's a great squad. Clearly, they're the best team in the one-day cricket in the country. But could you imagine how good they'd be if they had Dalthwaite picked and Lawrie picked and Cook picked? Could you imagine how good they'd be then? So, yeah, I don't know. Just something to maybe think about.
Well, no, Joe, that is perfectly fine. And again, it is something to discuss and have a debate about. Of course it is.
Because they are Glamorgan players. At the end
exactly.
of the day, it's not like you've obtained them in a bit of an odd way so that they're available just for a one-off for Glamorgan. They are contracted to Glamorgan. You've literally got the captain in those three. So again, Carson did a great job skippering. So maybe I'm just being completely wrong here, but it'd be interesting to know other people's thoughts as well.
Exactly, Joe. I was just about to say that, actually. Please do message us on Twitter, at the County Cricket Tour. I mean, we'd love to know people's thoughts about this, because there are multiple schools of thought with this. And of course, Joe, we've displayed both. Because I suppose there's the sentimental one, which is the fact that you've chosen this squad. They've got you to that stage. They've done the dirty work, and they should have the opportunity to represent the club. And that was Glamorgan's school of thought. But then at the same time, Joe, I completely understand yours. And I think the example of Lancs would be great. Of course, they didn't make this year's final. But if you do have those international superstars, it's incredibly difficult not to select them. And of course, with Durham, Matty Potts is a very, very bright and promising prospect.
Exactly.
Ben Rain
Potts
is a county stalwart.
Potts is one of the best bowlers in the 100, from what I've heard. So, you know, he was up there with one of the best fast bowlers in the 100. To me, it's just, like I say, if it was Lance and Parkey was available and Livingston was available and these kind of guys, and they didn't play because they wanted to, I don't know, for whatever reason, they didn't play, I would just find that incredible, because as you say, as much as it's good to stay loyal to the players who've got you to the final, if Glamorgan didn't, and they played, you know, some younger players, and Lancs could blow that team out of the water if they had the full strength squad.
But the key is they didn't, though, Joe, because Lancs didn't go through.
I know, but that was just an
Whereas
example.
Glamorgan
though.
Did and won.
But that was just an example, though. Lancs was just an example.
It's all speculation, isn't it?
Durham also didn't blow them out of the water. But as I say, I completely respect Glamorgan's decision. But I do have to agree with Durham on this one. I think it's personal preference entirely.
It is. And that is the key thing, Joe. And of course, for any listeners out there, we all have our own different thoughts on this. Of course you do. And it's good, too, to spark the debate and the conversation. And it is interesting, of course, Joe. I mean, if this is a trend for the next few tournaments, we'll have to wait and see which one actually pays off. Will it be the Glamorgan one or the Durham one? But of course, only time will tell as to whether or not those schools of thought will be displayed in future tournaments. But Joe, before we go on to our thoughts and really our wrap-up of this year's Royal London One Day Cup, I just have one final question about the final itself. What was your moment of the 2021 Royal London One Day Cup final? Was it Cameron Bancroft's outrageous catch, which was incredible? For those who haven't watched
that
please
ridiculous.
Do. It's an absolute blinder of a catch. It really is. Was it Andy Salter's threefer? I mean, he was absolutely fantastic with his off-spin. Was it Kieran Carlson's 82? Sean Dixon's 84? Was it Michael Hogan, the 40-year-old Aussie who started cricket just about 10 or 12 years ago and has been at Glamorgan for so many years, taking that winning scalp? What would you say out of all of those memorable moments was your moment, Joe, of this year's final?
I think there's probably two. I think, firstly, Salter getting both openers out for Durham.
Yes.
Because they were in electric form all competition. And
well, the two leading run scorers.
Exactly.
Clark at the top and Lee second.
Especially Clark. I would have to say, especially Clark, just because of the he can win a game in the power play for you, Clark. Obviously, a former guest of the podcast, great bloke. So yeah, great to see him scoring runs. And still got 40 in the final, so he's like, didn't exactly do badly. But yeah, I'd have to say Salter getting those 2 wickets, and just Rush was dismissal as well, because obviously that was the one that won the game. Obviously Hogan dismissing Rushworth to win, I'd say, Glamorgan's first ever One Day Cup. So incredible, incredible scenes, really. And yeah, it was a really, really good moment for Glamorgan. So yeah, fair play to them.
Exactly, Joe. Congratulations, Glamorgan. I mean, I've still got a massive smile on my face. It is an absolutely fantastic story. There's so many wonderful characters in that Glamorgan dressing room. And again, they aren't exactly, world-renowned names, are they? They're not globally recognized superstars. But in terms of domestic cricketers, there is a lot of talent in Wales at the moment. Kieran Carson is a real testament to that. That guy has got such a bright and promising future ahead of him. Then you've got the veterans, your Michael Hogans, for example. Hamish Rutherford, again, someone who's played international cricket for New Zealand, has had a good tournament. Didn't quite get so many runs in the final, but again, has been an integral part behind Glamorgan's success in this year's tournament. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful story. And all I'll say, Glamorgan fans, enjoy it, breathe it in, and you'll never, ever forget that moment when Michael Hogan dismissed Chris Rushworth. It was absolutely staggering. And then, of course, on the same kind of level, I suppose, Durham fans, keep those heads up, because it was a wonderful, wonderful competition for Durham. They have thoroughly, thoroughly entertained us throughout the entirety of the group stage. They were brilliant in the semi-final. And even in the final, they did take Glamorgan quite far in this year's competition. So Durham fans as well, the future looks bright up at the Riverside. Got some great young players, Luke Donnithy as well. What a find he's been in this year's competition. And yeah, I hope that both sides can, get some more silverware in the future. They are very, very good clubs and well-supported clubs as well, with excellent fan bases. So well done to Glamorgan, and of course, commiserations to Durham. But Joe, before we wrap up today's final review show of the 2021 Royal London One Day Cup, mate, I've got quite a profound question to answer. And that is, was the 2021 Royal London One Day Cup a success? So was it successful in terms of developing a new generation of cricketers? Was it successful in terms of viewing figures, in terms of attendances, in terms of the quality of cricket on display, mate? How would you go about answering that question, Joe? What did you make of this year's tournament?
Well, I think there's quite I have a few different answers for that. So, firstly, was it successful in developing young players? Yes, Warwick is the best example of that, in my opinion. I think there's obviously other counties who, Lancashire, for example, who brought through some good youngsters, but Warwickshire for me brought through so many impressive youngsters in this tournament, and for that reason, I would have to say yes, it was successful, in nurturing young talent, if you like, and bringing through some more youngsters into the county game. And how much cricket they'll get in the future, with full strength sides back, who knows? But I think a few of those Warwickshire players will get some more first team cricket. Maybe we'll see them on what day is your T20 quarter final, Friday.
Friday.
But yeah, so it will be interesting to see, how many games these youngsters get to play in the next few weeks, months, and even years in some cases. But yeah, I would say definitely it's been a success in that way. In terms of crowd numbers, I'm not. I think actually it was decent numbers, if I'm being honest. Certainly outgrounds, and I mean, Lancs played their first game at Sedbergh. It
What
was
a game
pretty
that was,
full.
by the way.
Yeah, great game, really, really good game. Danny Lam, my player of the tournament, I'd say Danny Lam, phenomenal in the whole tournament. I'm saying, phenomenal, phenomenal player. But yeah, I didn't go to Sedbergh, but from what I was watching it on the stream, and it looked pretty full. And again, the game where we played, what's Durham's outground called again? South Northumberland. Yeah, that's right. That was packed as well. So the obviously the outgrounds were very easy to fill, because it's always going to be like that. You're attracting interest from elsewhere in your county, just extending your reach, if you like. But in terms of the especially the test grounds, I don't think they were necessarily as easy to fill. And Lancs, when I went to the Middlesex game, Lancs shut down. They didn't open the party stand. They didn't open B stand, which is next to the away dressing room, and they didn't open A stand, which is on the right of the hotel as you look at it from the media centre. So three stands were not open for the Lancs game against Middlesex, and they struggled to fill. I mean, it was never going to be full, but they struggled to even half fill the three stands that were open. So for me, it was quite hard to fill up the other normal grounds, other test grounds as well. I don't know if it was like that Edgbaston.
I would say it was even worse at Edgbaston. I'm going to be honest, like, I think back to 2018 and 2019, and we'd get at least 2,000 in, or at least 1,500. It was between 1,500 to 2,000 in per Roland and One Day Cup games. This year, the highest attendance was about 800, yep. Which is a massive, massive decrease, considering that England are 50-over World Cup champions. And I know that with Warwickshire this year, and I think this was the problem, to be fair, because we've mentioned, Joe, we're county stalwarts, aren't we? We absolutely love county cricket. We'll watch whoever's playing for our county. But I suppose if you're more of a casual fan, and if you're a casual Warwickshire fan, you want to see maybe Chris Wokes. You maybe want to see a guy like an Ollie Stone, for example, who's got that international pedigree, is rapid as well, will change entire games. You want to see a Tim Bresnan, who, of course, is a former Ashes and T20 World Cup winner. The big names weren't there this year. Sam Hain, another one.
Exactly.
I mean, the guy with the highest list average of all time, and he played one game in the 100.
That was frustrating, of course. And I think the other thing is, as well, England, as a 50-over side, do not play one-day cricket like counties play. You do not get... If you get 320 in a county game, you're going to win.
Well, Durham do. I must admit.
Durham do. I would say Durham are the only exception. And in the final, they didn't bat like they normally do, for whatever reason.
Well, that's because Glamorgan's bowlers. They
exactly,
were fantastic.
But the brand of cricket played in county cricket is not as exciting as... I mean, exciting is a word that I would more use generally, but it's not as exciting as how England play one-day cricket. And if you've only been to a couple of England one-day games down at your local test ground or local international venue or wherever, or just seen a few on telly, you know, and then compared to how Lancs play, for example, Lancs had Jennings and Bohannon opening the batting and getting, like, who were good players, of course, two of my favourite players, but they weren't getting 100 off the first 10. They were getting, like, 50 or 60 off the first 10. And then Wells coming at three and getting, you know, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But it's such a different brand of cricket to how I like one-day cricket to be played personally. I think you should try and smash every ball for six and work backwards, in my opinion. But that's obviously never gonna be the case anyway. So I still enjoyed watching Lancs. But for a more casual fan, the brand of cricket is so different. And you're not going to get what you see on TV. You're not going to get what you see England do or how you see Australia play, which is... not been great recently, admittedly, but generally Australia also play the same brand of cricket. India, similar. So, you know, you're not really going to get that, as you say, other than the odd exception of Durham most games.
Yeah, but I suppose, Joe, again, that's international cricket, isn't it? You're picking the
of course,
best of
yeah,
the best, the creme de la creme
of saying,
that
though.
Domestic crop. But...
That's what I'm saying, though. There are county players who can play like that. The T20 Blast proves that. You know, if you get 180 in a T20, you've not won the game at all. If you get 200, it's not easy. Unless you're playing against genuinely an awful team, of which there's none really in county cricket anymore in T20 cricket, you know, you still get county. I know he's, well, Alex Davis is the perfect example. He whacks it. Alex Davis hits the ball so far and so hard, and he genuinely does absolutely whack it. And he was playing in the 100. So he's just one example. Will Jacks is another one. These are just people off the top of my head now.
Think of Jason Roy as well. He usually plays in the One Day Cup, doesn't he, for Surrey?
But that's what, exactly. But, all thinking like not England players. So, you know, like you say, they pick the best of the best, but there is also great players in county cricket. And, you know, I think that kind of lack of slogging, if you like, to use a very agricultural word, I think the lack of slogging in this tournament has kind of worked against the ECB. So, yeah, I definitely think that maybe that kind of needs looking at. Again, that's fine. However you want to play, that's how you play. You know, you want to, and like I said, I enjoyed watching Lancs this year. I didn't have a problem with that's how Lancs playing. But I do prefer seeing players hit every ball for six, and then if you can't hit every ball for four, and then if you can't three, and so on and so forth. So, yeah, as I say, that's just my personal preference. But I think for a lot of kind of casual county fans, that works against the ECB in terms of getting audiences in, because unless you support Durham, you're not going to see that. You know, you just not. So definitely, I think that kind of needs to be looked at. I don't know how they would kind of address it, but yeah, I don't know. It's not really the easiest thing to do because at the end of the day, I would never change the way Keaton Jennings plays because I love how he plays. But that's just how cricket has gone. So yeah, I think that definitely needs to be looked at.
It's an interesting one, Joe, because again, each and every single one of those 18 counties has their own philosophies and approaches
Of
to batting,
course,
don't
of
they?
course. But I'm talking more generally.
Yeah,
I'm
but
talking more generally if you're a casual fan.
I'm
I
not
don't
sure it's the
mind. Of
approach,
course,
though. I'm not
I
sure it
don't
is the
mind.
approach. I think it's the actual personnel, because again, like, look at us, and of course, for long-term county fans, it doesn't matter who plays, does it? Let's face it, Joe. I mean, when we saw those young players. You, for example, Jack Morley, George Lavell, for example, Rob Jones. I mean, think of all the young Lancashire talent that's coming through the ranks. At Warwickshire as well, we are missing 16 players. And we got to see the likes of Ashish Chakrapani, George Garrett, Jacob Bethell, Dan Mousley, Ethan Brooks, Manraj Jahal, just to list a few names, Kiel van Vollenhoven and Chris Benjamin as well, of course. But we are looking at this from a county stalwart,
See,
hardcore fan
there's one. Chris
perspective.
Benjamin's another one. He whacks it. He does. He hits the ball so far. He does not hold back. That's what I mean. People like that. Of course, you're going to get. Harry Kane is an example at Derby. He plays that way. Graham Clark's another one. They play that way. But if you take out the likes of Will Jacks, Alex Davis, Laurie Evans, these kind of guys, if you take them all out of the county game, Daniel Bell Drummond, if you take them all out and put them into the 100, you kind of bring in through new players who aren't necessarily accustomed to playing county cricket, and I think it's hard to expect. I'm not saying I want these guys to change the way they play, of course, and I would never expect that of anybody. How you play is how you play. It's been effective for loads of people, but for a general cricket fan or a casual cricket fan, if you're just going to watch 50 overs because it's white ball cricket, it's a short format, and you're expecting people to whack it, I think you would be disappointed. And I don't think that's anyone's fault other than the ECB's. I appreciate it may actually look like I blame the players this whole time. Like I said, I don't blame the players for how they play cricket. I appreciate that's how they play cricket, and some are great, and that's the way I see it, is that the brand of cricket England play. Can't expect that from 18 counties as well. And that would disappoint a casual cricket fan.
It's an interesting point, Joe. I think that's what I'll leave it as, because of course there is a reason behind that, and it is the 100-sized elephant in the room, but we don't have enough time on today's podcast to discuss it, of course, in the length that it would require hours and hours, wouldn't it, Joe, to be honest, given our, respective opinions on the tournament itself. But we've mentioned there about casual fans, and of course mentioned about attendances at our two clubs, Joe. I did just want to mention one thing which has been really, really promising about this year's competition, and that has been the live streaming figures. Now, we'll start with Lancashire, Joe, because I know that you'd love to know these figures. And over the course of their four home games, and this is just on YouTube, not including Facebook, not including radio or website views and clicks as well, but just on YouTube alone, Lancashire County Cricket Club attracted 570,000 unique views across their four home games. That's an average of 142,500 plus views per live stream, which is absolutely staggering. Staggering, Joe. And it is a testament to just how well Lancs have done in terms of their live streaming and, of course, their stature on a global scale as well. And then I also took another team, Leicestershire. And Leicestershire's live streaming figures were absolutely brilliant as well. And again, it's a testament to the hard work that has gone in by all at Grace Road this season, of course. Over the course of their four games, 372,000 unique views on the YouTube live streams. That's 93,000 views per game for Leicestershire, a county which doesn't have an international test venue, a county which doesn't have many of players in the 100. For example, they don't have a 100 franchise in Leicestershire itself, and yet they're still getting almost 100,000 YouTube views per game for a competition which has seen so many star players leave to play in the 100. I think that is really, really promising. And again, Joe, we could say this until the cows come home about the ECB giving this competition the love, the attention, the nurturing that it deserves, because there is clearly an audience and an appetite for quality List A cricket in this country. And of course, on an international scale, There is, and I don't have the country by country breakdown or demographics breakdown. The clubs themselves will have that. But those figures are absolutely fantastic. And I don't want to make a direct comparison, but they have actually been better than some of the 100 games. They have been. Some of the live broadcasts on Sky Sports Cricket, I was looking at this, have got about 80,000 views. Leicester have averaged 93,000. So for a competition which has basically been, let's face it, sidelined for the showpiece this year, which was the 100 in its inaugural edition, the Royal London One Day Cup, in my opinion at least, has been a massive success. We've seen over 100 players make their List A debuts. Joe, you rightfully said as well, we've seen so much promising talent. I could spend ages talking about and listing about all those names. Look at the Warwickshire players we mentioned, the Lancashire players. You've also got the likes of a Lewis Goldsworthy, for example, who's been absolutely fantastic. Dan Moriarty is another one. Ryan Patel, Jamie Smith from Surrey. There are so, so many promising, talented players in English and Welsh cricket right now that we have seen been given this platform and have utilised and taken their opportunity to perfection. So the 2021 Royal London One Day Cup, I'm going to be honest, was completely different. It wasn't the competition that we thought it'd be all those years back when the One Day Cup used to be this real prestigious tournament. It had the Lord's Final. It was on a Saturday and you'd get these massive crowds in every single game. But there's still a massive audience for this competition. There's still a lot of love and respect for this competition. And although it was different, I must admit, John, I'm not sure if you share this sentiment, I absolutely loved this year's tournament. I loved it. I loved going to Edgbaston and watching our young players. I loved tuning in on the live streams and watching the likes of a Lewis Goldsworthy for Somerset or a Sonny Baker as well on the Somerset live streams. And all of these 18 counties have got these bright, promising talents. And I just loved every single minute of this competition. There's so many brilliant moments. The final was brilliant as well. We've seen so many fantastic moments in this year's competition. I think looking back at 2021, I'm going to remember this year's competition very, very fondly. How would you see it, Joe?
Yeah, I think, as you say, it was a unique one-day cup. And maybe we won't be saying that in, I don't know, 3 years' time. But for now, it's certainly been a unique competition. We've missed so many big players, but I think that's been a good opportunity for young players. And as I said earlier, they've showcased why they deserve to be in the team more regularly. And for me, it is, as you say, been a great competition. So I do wish more games had been on Sky, or maybe someone else could have bought the rights. Sky don't have to have the rights. Why didn't ITV buy the rights? Why didn't BT Sport buy the rights?
They're not BBC Red Button.
BBC Red Button. There you go. Why didn't these kinds of broadcasters buy the rights? Who knows? For whatever reason, who knows? Maybe they couldn't afford. I don't know. But regardless, I do think it's been a great competition. And even so, all the games were still free. So you can still watch all the games if you wanted to, every single one. And obviously the final was on Sky. And I think it was on YouTube as well.
No, it was on the ECB website though.
Ah, it was on the ECB website. There you go. So you can still watch every single game for free. I don't really think you can ask for much more. As I say, obviously I made my whole point about brands of cricket. That was more of a, not for me, that was more for casual fans. So yeah, overall I've enjoyed the competition. I think it's been good. And I think there's been some great bowling on display, which I think is the most important thing.
Exactly, Joe. There has.
Because people focus a lot on batting.
Yeah, 5 for 19 at Grantham. What a fantastic one that was. Michael Hogan's 1 for 18 as well.
Exactly.
From 10 overs.
Exactly. So, yeah, for me, the bowling has been a real standout this year, which has been good.
It has indeed, Joe. And I tell you what, I've absolutely loved these review shows as well. It really has been a pleasure talking with you, mate, and discussing and highlighting all of this young talent in English and Welsh cricket. And as I said, listeners, I've absolutely loved this year's competition. I'm going to remember this year's tournament very, very fondly indeed. But Joe, that pretty much brings us to an end to today's wrap-up show and, of course, our review series for the 2021 Royal London One Day Cup. To all of the players, all of the coaching staff, to everyone involved in this year's competition, just a massive thank you on our end for producing such a fantastic tournament. And of course, to all of the fans, whether you're casual fans, hardcore county fans, maybe you've been to your first ever List A game. I hope you've all really, really enjoyed this year's tournament and continue to support your counties. Remember, there's a lot of cricket still coming up. We've got the T20 Blast quarterfinals this week. And then of course, it's Super September, Joe, heading into next week and beyond with our two teams competing in Division 1. So that should be tasty, to say the least. So there's still plenty of cricket. And I say this every single episode, if you can, support your counties, whether that's in the ground, watching YouTube, following them on social media, anything and everything helps our counties. So thank you to each and every single one of you who's tuned in to our Royal London One Day Cup wrap-up shows. And as always, guys, we'll see you on the next one.